Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the perfect three in one. Now, recently I read a story about someone who became concerned that too many people today live detached and devoid of emotional connections with society. And I think, you know, we can kind of see that in many instances. So he decided to do something about it. Now, I have to say that he tells the story here, and it's pre-COVID-19, okay? So he reserved 6 dates over the course of a year and to host the 6 dinners at his home. Posting a menu for each meal, he described via social media that he was offering and invited anyone to fill one of the 8 seats at his table for each of the 6 evenings. Well, within 24 hours, he had them all filled up, and there was a waiting list that was building in case there were cancellations. The people who came each night didn't know one another, had no clue about who was coming, and they were from various political, religious, social, and cultural backgrounds, ranging in age from 22 to 74. Most evenings, the meal and after-dinner conversations lasted about 3 to 4 hours. Later, reflecting on this experience, the host said something refreshing. There was something refreshing about sitting at a table and breaking bread, meaning, and having a meal with a stranger who's willing to let you in his or her personal life, her space. He summarized this year-long experience by saying there are 3 things, and these are the keys. These are the 3 things he became convinced of after sitting with such an eclectic people at his table. It became obvious to him that people are hungry for connection. People are hungry for conversation, and people are hungry for community. So I believe these 3 elements can be seen in the text from Isaiah. The prophet shows how much can happen when Jesus brings people, when he brings people together to receive conversation, connection, and community. We are an example of that this very morning, sitting here in church. Isaiah was chosen as a messenger to Judah. And for many years, things were great. No problems. Everything was running smooth. Yet there was a spiritual void. And I have to tell you, I'm going to get on my soapbox, there is a great spiritual void in our country and in our cities and in our communities. That is the biggest thing that has to happen for this world, our world, to turn around. Isaiah addresses the struggles and battles of life, those that are personal as well as those that are political. Isaiah was God's spokesman, announcing the Lord's judgment and calling for repentance. But he also spoke words of comfort and of hope. At the beginning of chapter 25, our text, Isaiah is not ashamed to speak about his faith. He says, "Oh Lord, you are my Lord. I will exalt you. I will praise your name." His witness is bold and is clear. And yet Isaiah realizes that this is not the case for a lot of people. They're just not like that. In fact, as a result of the Lord's judgment, Babylon would be destroyed for its disobedience, its idolatry, and rebellion. In verse 2, it says, "For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. And after living in exile, God's people would eventually return home. You know, who doesn't wonder about some of the trials and the challenges that people face today and have forever, really? You know, who doesn't ask why? Why are there so many natural disasters? And of course, we're, you know, with these hurricanes and the fires out west, they're just all over the place. Why do tragic incidents happen? Even in our own communities, they happen. Why are there viruses out there that can kill people, can kill many, many people? Why is a loved one facing a physical illness? Why? Why is that happening? And we say, why, Lord, why? The answer, too much of that is in the effect of sin in our life, resulting in less than a perfect world we live in. And because of this, trials and tragedies, they just happen. It's going to be that way. Always will be that way. There are times when people experience consequences of their sinful actions. Hey, you did it to yourself. Come on. That doesn't mean that there's always a direct connection to as to why something unfortunate or tragic happened in someone's life. Sin is not always the cause, but more than times it is. Nor does it mean there's always an answer as to why. Why certain things happen the way they do. We don't know, but they happen. Nevertheless, people are hungry. People want to talk. They want to talk about the why. Why this? Why that? And each time we do, it's a reminder of the opportunity we have to share the good news. In Isaiah 25:4, it reminds us that the Lord is the stronghold for the poor and a stronghold for the needy in distress. So you have to ask yourself, maybe, when was the last time, and I'm talking now pre-COVID because it's kind of difficult to do right now, but when was the last time that you let someone ask you questions about God? Was there ever a time? Did you sit down across the table and talk, or you know, in a bench in the park or something? When was the last time you listened without judgment? You know, people these days like to judge people. When was the last time you allowed someone to express what they were experiencing without feeling the need to defend God or explain his actions? Sometimes people feel that they are living in a heap or in a ruin. Sometimes we can feel poor. Sometimes we can feel needy. Sometimes what is needed is an opportunity for people to have conversation, to express what they are feeling and thinking and experiencing in this sin-sick world. Such conversations definitely can make connections. The text from Isaiah reference a feast, and that's what we were talking about in the children's message before. This points to the reality that there are so many people are hungry and thirsting for in life. There are many things we try to fill those voids with, you know, to ultimately satisfy ourselves. And maybe it's, trying to get that most important job that's going to make you feel good. Maybe it's trying to fill our life with meaningful occupations, jobs, accumulating possessions, or fulfilling relationships. And while all those things are important, They never will help. They will always come up short. These verses in Isaiah 25, if as you were listening, this is pure gospel message coming out of the mouth of Isaiah. So Isaiah describes this lavish feast. He describes it verse by verse, what the Lord is doing. The Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. He will swallow up the covering that is cast over all people. He will swallow up death forever. He will wipe away tears from all faces. With one description after another, Isaiah wants his hearers to connect to just how gracious God is toward his people. Likewise, on Mount Calvary and by an empty tomb, the Lord of hosts, Jesus himself, gave it all. He held nothing back. He wanted to complete it. He took our place. His atonement covered our every affliction. He wipes away our tears. He swallows up death forever. He forgives. Woo-hoo. He forgives our sins. He raises us to new life. He restores us to the Father. He offers us hope. That's what we need these days, hope. What a message in which to connect where people are in their lives. And such connection, what does that do? It creates community. The communion of saints, and here we are. The communion, the community. So one of the goals of gospel proclamation is kingdom growth. Paul says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's it. That's the key. When the gospel is preached, not only does it bring comfort, but to the faithful, obviously, but it also gathers the people together. And here we are, together, listening and hearing the word of God. Isaiah's final verses really highlight that the response to this feast of good news is for people to declare, let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. With such a response, a community of believers, that'd be us, comes together on earth as it is in heaven. Conversation, connection, community. What an opportunity. What an opportunity the church has today, even though we're struggling with this coronavirus deal. It's still an opportunity because there are so many people that feel disconnected. Many are questioning. Many are doubting. Some are skeptical. Some are really struggling. But what would happen if the people of God would begin to have honest conversations with people, believers and unbelievers, saints and sinners? Consider the connections that could be made for openly sharing the gospel. In doing so, the community of believers, we grow, we get bigger, both now and forevermore. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.